Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, let's put our hands together and let's welcome to the Rock Church of Virginia Beach. Come on, put your hands together all the way from Long Island, New York. Let's hear it for Pastor Donnie McCorkin.
Somebody give Jesus praise here. Come on, give Jesus praise here. We're going to sing and glorify God together, one body, one voice. All the Christians in this place have served Jesus exclusively, given and praise that he's worthy of. I want you to join and sing with us if you know these songs. I want you to participate in the worship of tonight. This is to the glory of the King. And how many of you know he's coming soon? Come on, make some noise if you know he's coming soon.
There's no God like Jehovah.
Nobody like
Jehovah.
Nobody like
Jehovah.
day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and let us enter into his holy courts with praise. Good morning, my brothers and sisters. You are listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience for this Sunday, February the 5th, 2023. Now, I am Apostle Shalene Cook, but as always, I am joined by some wonderful servant leaders from here at the Spirit Alive Network in the persons of Bishop Lester Carver, Pastor Vanessa Carver, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Minister Tina Brown, and Apostle Zeta Flowers. So on behalf of all of us, we want to welcome you to this morning's service. And we pray that you will hear something that will bless your spirit and truly uplift your very soul. So right now, we are going to go to opening prayer with Minister Tina Brown. Amen.
Amen. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we're coming to your throne of grace today, thanking you for another beautiful day you've given us to be able to come together as a spiritual family, to be able to worship and praise you, give you all the honor and the glory and the praise, Heavenly Father. We thank you so much for the message we're about to hear today. May it touch the hearts of those who are listening near and far. May they find something in it that gives them peace and salvation so that they will get closer to you, Heavenly Father. We are so thankful for the messenger who's going to be giving the message today, Heavenly Father. Bless the messenger. Bless the message. Bless in you. Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Tell him. He's the only way. Listen here. The way to the good land. The way to the top. The way to the promised land where the victory never stops. The way to the moon. He's the perfect GPS when you're trying to get through. So now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, and I won't answer to defeat. There's so much more that I could say. Instead I'll just let it breathe. Keep if I should die before I wake.
Don't
let
God
have to. Ooh, I won't answer to defeat.
Gotta
be my people. Oh, there's so much more that I could say. Instead, I'll just let it go.
He's the
way.
Let's talk
Hold
about it.
Wait.
He's a lamp unto my
Hold
feet.
Wait.
The way to be happy.
Wait.
The way to victory.
Wait.
Ooh, yeah. The fight. He's the way to make it right. Let me hear you sing it louder. Hey, we're talking about a sure thing. Pray and a
role.
Yeah, convince that I won't be better.
Hallelujah. It is now time for this morning's meditational reading. Hallelujah. And we are praising God for Mother Mitchell, who has been under the weather, but praise God, she is still here on her post, amen, to bring us a powerful reading from a devotional written by Pastor Joseph Prince, entitled Destined to Reign. So won't you please retrieve your Bibles and give your undivided attention to Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. I am so thankful to God to be here and have some voice to do the reading. I love doing the reading on Sunday for the Lord. Our meditational reading is entitled Remain Steadfast in the Faith. We'll be reading from a snippet from 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9. And it so reads, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith. Now, when I was a teenager, I was taught if I wanted to resist the devil, I had to rebuke him. So whenever an evil thought came to my mind or I was tempted, I found myself saying, I resist you, devil, in Jesus' name. I bind you, devil. Go away from me, devil. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. This went on until God showed me one day that though I had resisted the devil, I had spent more time talking to him than I did to God. I was more conscious of the devil than of God throughout the day. I checked the word of God and realized that we resist the devil not by focusing on resisting him, but by being established in the faith. That we are made right with God through Jesus' blood, that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. And you can read more about that in 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. Yes, the devil will continue to remind you of your mistakes, failures, and sins. And he will tell you that because of these things, you cannot receive your healing, that you will have to pay for your mistakes, or that something bad will happen to your family. He will accuse you, condemn you, and try to persuade your heart to believe that he can do bad things to you. But the truth is that the devil cannot enforce anything in your life if he cannot persuade your heart. And your heart cannot be persuaded if it is steadfast in the faith. If it is established in righteousness, God says that once you are established in righteousness, you shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Isaiah 54 and 14 says. So now that my heart is established in righteousness, I can boldly declare, yes, I may have these problems in my life, but I am not guilty in God's eyes. I am justified in his eyes by faith because of what Christ has done. I am righteous by Jesus' blood. Beloved, that is how you resist the devil and become undevourable. May the Lord add blessings and favors to the readers, hearers, and especially the doers of his mighty and righteous word. The thought for today, we resist the devil not by focusing on resisting him, but by being established in the faith that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen and glory
Amen.
To God.
which is the love of Jesus, so that they may come into the knowledge of the truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah and glory to God. It is now prayer time here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. Hallelujah. And this is a time when we come together collectively as a family, and then when we go individually to the Lord's throne of grace, and there we talk to him and we tell him our issues, because we know that when we go to him, expecting him to do everything that he says he will do, he will show up. He will move. Hallelujah. Because he is still in the miracle working business. He is still, hallelujah, in the prayer answering business. He is still, hallelujah, in the wonders manifestation business. Oh, hallelujah. So when we come together and we just lay our hearts on that throne, and we petition him in love for our brothers and sisters all over this world, hallelujah, we can just sit back and watch God move. So right now, what I want you to do is to clear your minds and prepare to go to God's throne of grace with our anointed servant, Apostle Zeta Flowers. Amen.
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 Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. God bless you, everyone. We're going to go into prayer. Praise God. Let us all come together, bowing our heads, our hearts to God. Father God, we come to you this morning. We come thanking you, as we always do. Because of you, we wouldn't be where we are today. So we just praise you and we thank you, and we thank you for waking us up this morning, allowing us to see the beginning of another week. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And Father God, we lift up people all over the world today. We lift them up to you, those that are faced with all kinds of disasters, tragedies, weather conditions, and fires, wars, sufferings, and all of the challenges that we go through. We ask, Lord, that you would move in a mighty way, that you would touch those this morning that are suffering from all these kinds of things. We ask, Lord, that you would heal,
Father,
that you would deliver, that you would set free, that you would work miracles in their behalf, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, all over the world, Lord. We speak healing, healing across the land, in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that your people will come to you in the name of Jesus, that many will be saved, because they will realize that there is no other way, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord, that you will use us as your vessels in all of these situations, in the name of Jesus, that we will stand, hallelujah, in the gap for all of these people that are going through, that are suffering, those that have loved ones that have passed away. We ask, Lord, that you would have mercy this morning, that you would also comfort them, and that you will just prepare them and help them, Lord, strengthen them in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, that they will get through it with your help in Jesus' name. And we just praise you. We praise you for all that you're doing right now in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. We know that by faith, hallelujah, you will do what you said you will do. You will, hallelujah, answer prayers. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you hear our prayers. We thank you that our prayers are being answered in spite of, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. We pull down strongholds this morning in the name of Jesus. We come against the enemy on every side in Jesus' name, in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We trust you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We believe that you will do. You will do it in the name of Jesus. According to your word, we know what your word says. Hallelujah. We pray for those, Lord, that are in bondage. Those that are in bondage to sin, but also those that are in prisons, jails, and juveniles, and hospitals. We pray,
yeah,
Lord, for them, that they will be set free. Hallelujah. That they will hear your word. Hallelujah. That they will obey you. That they will turn, hallelujah, from their evil ways. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Touch,
hallelujah.
Father.
That they
touch,
will
Father.
Be conformed. Hallelujah.
Yes,
hallelujah. To a better life, Lord. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Just touch, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we also come against the police brutality. And we ask, Lord, that you would move,
Lord,
in this situation.
Touch.
In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Our communities, our cities, hallelujah, across the United States and across the world, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That you will put an end to it. Hallelujah. That you will raise up leaders of these areas, Lord, the police department and so forth, the federal departments, that they will make a difference in these situations.
Yeah.
We pray for safety and protection, hallelujah, especially over the black males right now, in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
in
Jesus'
touch,
name, Lord.
We pray,
touch,
Lord, that you will,
our Lord,
that you will surround them with your presence, in the name of Jesus, that your hand of protection will be upon them, in Jesus' name, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for what you're doing. Pray for our children. We pray for your hand of protection to be upon the babies, the young children. Hallelujah.
Yes.
The
yes.
young adults. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That they will know your way. That they will be taught about you, God. Hallelujah. At an early age. Hallelujah. That they will know you. That they will know how to pray. Hallelujah. Oh, God, that they will know how to even seek your face for themselves and seek salvation in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We pray, Lord, that you will surround them with good teachers. Hallelujah. Both in school and in the church, in the name of Jesus, that they will be blessed, that they will know who you are in Jesus' name, that they will have a desire to want to live for you. And
yes,
serve you,
Lord. Yes.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you. Hallelujah. We pray, Lord, for leaders all over the world. Hallelujah.
Yes,
we
Lord
pray for
God.
Every leader
yes.
that's ahead of your church, your ministries, your broadcast and podcast and all of these. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, that you will be in these Zoom programs and the teachings and everything, Lord, that you will step in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. That you Lord. Will make a difference in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, hallelujah, that the leaders that are corrupted, hallelujah, will be corrected in the name of Jesus. In Jesus'
yes,
name.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That they will be set down. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. And we just praise you. We praise you, Lord, for what you're doing right now. We pray, Lord, for any of us that are sick. We pray for anybody that's going through right now that needs a breakthrough. We lift them up in the name of Jesus. We,
yes, Lord.
We ask, Lord, that you would restore in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That is to be restored in Jesus' name. And we just thank you for it. If there are any sick among us this morning, we ask, Lord, that you would touch and that
Jesus.
You would heal. In the name
yes,
of Jesus,
Lord.
Touch every leader, hallelujah, that's on the program.
Yes, Lord. Bless
touch
them, oh
everyone
God.
That's listening in on the program.
Yes,
in the name
Lord.
Of
bless
Jesus.
Them, oh God.
In Jesus' name, touch, Lord, in a mighty way.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, that someone, hallelujah, hallelujah, will be touched and
yes.
saved and delivered in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord,
pray
God.
Also
please.
For Apostle Shirlene Cook this morning.
Bless
we lift
you.
Her up, Lord,
yes.
to you. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to bless her, that you would continue to use her as you do in a mighty way.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus'
Lord
name.
God.
In Jesus'
Lord.
Name.
Oh, Lord.
Hallelujah. Catch, Lord. Hallelujah. Anything that she has on her mind today, Lord. Hallelujah. That she wants you to take care of for her, Lord. We ask that you will. In the
thank
name of
you.
Jesus.
In the name
we thank
of
you
Jesus.
For Mother Mitchell. Hallelujah.
Yes,
being
Lord.
By your
thank
healing
you.
Hand, Lord. We thank you that she's back with us this morning. Hallelujah.
Yes,
I thank you, Lord, for blessing me this morning. Hallelujah.
Thank
to be
you,
back
yes.
In your
thank
service.
Thank you, Lord.
And we just
yes,
praise
Lord.
You for it. Hallelujah.
Yes,
we thank you for
hallelujah.
All that you do. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
For us,
yeah.
your children. We thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you for every prayer. Hallelujah, that's been answered. We thank
yes,
you
Lord.
For the provisions that you
thank
continue
you,
to make
Jesus.
For each
thank
and every
you,
one
Jesus.
Of us. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
In Jesus' name, and we thank you. Amen and amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Glory
thank
to
you,
God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Jesus. Hallelujah.
Love
thank you, Jesus.
Jesus.
Thousands of years, thousands of voices have been singing one name. It started with 12 who were crazy enough to leave everything. Yeah. Misfits and doubters, outcasts and cowards, kinda like you and me, have one thing in common, the one we follow, he's still the reigning king. Sing it with me now.
Jesus, people all around the world. But it strengthens our faith. We pray to be bold and unstoppable, to live in a shame.
Yeah. We're billions of hearts, lights in the dark. We're never fading out. If the nails in his hands cannot stop us now, nothing's ever gonna stop us now.
Jesus, people all around the world stand.
Let it be known,
let it be known.
Just start living like we've been set free.
Hallelujah. All right. Good morning, saints of God. It is now time for this morning's message, which will be coming from Acts chapter 17, and we will be looking at verses 1 through 15. That's the book of Acts, chapter 17, verses 1 through 15. Now, if you are listening via your computers and you do not have a Bible, you can go to BibleGateway.com and simply type in Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 15. Now, before I begin, I would like to first give honor to God, my Heavenly Father, to Jesus, my Lord, my Savior, and the head of my life, to the wonderful servant leaders here at Spirit Alive, and to all of you, our listeners. Once again, good morning, and God bless you. Now I'm going to open in prayer because I want to ensure that God's word is told in a way that everyone can receive it, apply it, and share it. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I come before your throne of grace, asking that you completely empty me of self, Lord. I need to completely decrease so that you can increase. Because it is only by your holy word, Father God, that people are saved. It is only by your holy word, Father God, that people are healed, changed, restored, and transformed. Father God, I pray for your people all around the world that they would have an ear to hear and to receive and to apply this word to their lives so that they can live a more abundant life in you. And Lord God, I pray if someone is listening today that doesn't know you in the pardon of their sin, I pray, Lord God, that they will hear something that will cause them to give you their lives and to turn their lives over to you completely, Lord God, making you their Lord, making you their Savior, and making you the head of their lives, Lord. I pray it all in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. All right, thanks to God. Amen. Well, while flipping through a copy of Pastors Today, I came across a heartwarming story about a man named John that had a neighbor named Jack. Now, Jack was a tough man. He worked hard, he drank hard, he fought hard, and he was just harsh and gruff in his manner. Most people were afraid of Jack, but Brother John got brave and said hello to him over the fence one day. He just started having a conversation with him, which was pretty one-sided at first. However, every chance he got, John started talking to Jack. And then he even went over and visited him in his house. He would sometimes take him a fresh loaf of homemade bread that his wife had made or a batch of cookies. He just tried to be neighborly and share the good things he had with him. Now, one day, John, who was, of course, a Christ follower, brought up the subject of heaven. He asked John if he believed in heaven. At first, Jack said he didn't want to talk about religion, and that was the end of the conversation. A couple of years later, Jack's son was killed in a boating accident, and John went over to tell Jack how sorry he was about the loss of his son. Overcome with grief, Jack just broke down, and he cried like a baby. John didn't know what to do, so he just put a hand on his shoulder and let him cry. Eventually, Jack started talking. He said that his son was the only child he had and that he felt like he had failed him as a father. His son had tried to talk to him before about God and religion, but Jack told him religion was for people who were weak and who needed something to make them feel good about themselves. So Jack asked John, "Do you think my boy is in heaven right now?" John replied, if he was trusting in Jesus for forgiveness and was living his life for God, then he is certainly in heaven right now. Jack thought about that for a moment and said, I hope he sees his mother there, to which John responded, Jack, there is no reason why he cannot see his father there too. A few months later, Jack went over to John's house and said, I'm ready. Ready for what? Asked John. I'm ready to get right with God, Jack said. They talked, and John was able to pray with Jack and help him to start a relationship with Jesus. Now, do you know that John had been praying for Jack for over 3 years? So can you imagine his joy when he finally saw the answers to his prayers? Saints, I came to remind all of us this morning that there is indeed, truly joy in the harvest. You see, John could be you, because you too have something good to share that will help others in need of help. Yes, there is nothing in this world more as important or more as exciting as leading other people to Jesus. Which brings me to the heart of my message for today, which is, if we want to see the harvest, we must faithfully plant the seeds and tend the garden. And the Bible gives us an example of this in Acts 17, 1 through 15. And now I want to share just three things that we can learn from these verses. First thing, if we keep sharing our faith, trust and believe, we will see results. Let's look at Acts 17, 1 through 4. And I will be reading from the King James Version. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. There was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scripture, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. So you see, if we are obedient to the Lord and continue to seek opportunities to tell others about Jesus, we're going to see, we're going to eventually see some results. And what we need to understand is, if Jesus and all the apostles face resistance to their message, why are we so surprised when it happens to us? What we should be doing is preparing ourselves for the reality that many of the people we talk to about God's grace and forgiveness will not want to have anything to do with us or our message. However, we also need to prepare ourselves for the reality that if we keep on sharing our faith, oh, somebody will receive Jesus. Oh, yes, they will. You see, most of us want ATM results, but we should know people are not wired like that. Now, in one sense, we do need to be automatic tellers of the good news, but some people may require months or years before they are ready to respond. So what we're really talking about here is patience. Now, when I was a child, I used to watch Mr. Pitts and Mr. Smith tend to our family's vegetable and rose garden. And I love going out and picking the roses and pulling carrots out of the ground. So when my husband said we were going to have a little flower garden out front and plant vegetables out back, I got really excited. Now, I watched my husband till that ground about three separate times. And he spent a lot of time trying to get the rocks out of the soil until at last we were ready to start planting, or so we thought. Because as we started planting, we found out that rocks have a way of multiplying. Anyway, we did manage to put in a row of tomato plants and some strawberries and some carrots. But I'm going to tell you the truth. I had done so much bending and stooping that my back was truly complaining. And you know me, saints of God, being the spiritual woman that I am, oh, wait a minute, or at least I strive to always be, I couldn't help but think of the verse that talks about sowing in tears. Because, look, I was very sore weary, And I just wanted to hurry up and get all the early seeds in. Psalms 26:5 says, those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seeds to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. Now, family, I guess it's just the child in me, but now after planting the seeds, my crazy self will go out and be checking every day, hoping I see something besides some weeds popping up. Because I'm here to tell you, there's a measure of joy when you see those first plants start popping up out the ground. Ooh, I used to get excited about that. It was so neat to see the little tomatoes start coming on the vine and the little strawberries start growing and a few carrots and radishes start coming up. But you know what? We still had to continually water, weed, wait, fertilize, and repeat in order to enjoy that final crop. For, you see, it takes time, patience, and work if you want to see a great harvest. So why did my husband and I go to all that trouble when we could just have walked across the street to the grocery store? Well, we did it because there is joy in the harvest. You see, when God gives the increase, it's an exciting time of celebration. And as we share our faith with others and plant the good seeds of truth in their lives, we need to remember to hang in there and keep watering and nurturing and investing in them until we see the joy of the harvest. We can't give up because the soil seems a little too hard or rocky. We can't give up just because some of the seed that we plant does not seem to want to grow. But no, no, no. What we must do is continually pray, share love, believe, repeat, pray, share love, believe, and repeat. We must be obedient to Galatians 6:9 where it says, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap the harvest if we do not give up. And we have to remember, saints, we have to start somewhere now. You got to start. If you haven't been sharing your faith with others, you need to go to the Lord and ask what you can do to help spread the good news about Jesus. Because there's so many ways that you can get involved in sharing the good news. First and foremost, if you don't do anything else, you can always pray. Pray for your friends, your family, your neighbors, your coworkers, your fellow students who don't know Jesus. You can always give. You can support trustworthy missionaries so they can take the good news of Jesus to other nations. You can give to reputable charities and organizations and ministries. And most importantly, you must live it. Ha! Yes, sir. That's one of the best and most important things we can do. We must live it. We must love like Christ, and we must serve like Christ so that his holy word is personified in us. Why? Because we might be the only epistle, the only one that somebody will ever read. So we must talk about it because the good news of God's grace and forgiveness should shape us in such a degree, in such a way, that it just naturally flows from and through our lives. Because if we never plant the seeds, beloved, we will never, ever have a garden. Listen, I bet if you have a hobby or interest, you don't have any problem talking about that, do you? Why? Because it excites you. See, you've studied it, and you know a lot about it. So if the good news about Jesus really is good to you, and it has changed your life, shouldn't we be able to find joy in sharing it with others? I'm just saying. Can't we study God's word as instructed and become passionate enough to talk about it? You see, saying if we just fit Jesus in one small corner of our lives, people would think that we're not really that sold out on Jesus ourselves. See, the good news about Jesus is that when he's active in our lives, he will inspire such a passion and an excitement that will not fade with time. Hallelujah. Now, what are some of the motivators that would make us want to share the good news about Jesus? Well, first and foremost, our love of God. Jesus said, if you love me, you will do what I ask you to. We show our love for God by doing what he has asked us, his followers, to do. And that is to tell others about Jesus and the forgiveness and the peace that they can find in him. We show our love for God by caring about what he cares about. And what does God care about? God cares about people. He doesn't want anyone to perish or die without knowing him. But he wants all people to turn away from their sin and turn to him for forgiveness and for life. Do we want that? I sure hope we want that for every person in our family, our neighborhood, our community, our world. Do you hear me? Which leads us on to another motivator for telling people about Jesus. Not only should our love of God motivate us, but our love for people should motivate us. If we really love our family, our friends, our neighbors, well, we should certainly not want them to miss out on God's forgiveness. If we really love people, we don't want them to be left behind when Jesus returns. I don't know about you, but I don't want anyone to miss out on the grace of God. Now, even though telling others about God's love and grace isn't always an easy task, I'm here to tell y'all today that it's always going to be worth it, because sometimes we will face rejection, anger, and other problems, just like Paul did. Which brings me to point number two, which is if we keep sharing our faith, trust, and believe, we're going to face resistance. Now, if you've been following us through the book of Acts, this is a subject, this is a matter that's going to come up time and time again. But the Lord wants us to get it down in our sanctified soul. Yes, yes, yes. There's going to be resistance. Let's look at verses 5 through 9. But the Jews, which believe not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren into the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and one of the other, they let them go. Now, I don't know what kind of environment you're accustomed to, but for me personally, I don't like to be hated by others. I like to be liked. But, honey, let me tell you, sometimes being liked will not be compatible with sharing the good news about Jesus. Why? No, it will not. You see, Jesus can be a threat to people. Why? Because Jesus messes with the way people want to live. That's why. I've known people who did not want to do anything, they didn't want to have anything to do with Jesus or church because they thought it meant giving up some of the things that they like. You know, you'd hear things like, I've become a Christian, but I don't want to have to give up drinking. Oh, yeah, I've become a Christian, but I don't want to give up that immoral relationship I'm involved in. You know, we've been together for so long. Huh. I've become a Christian, but I might have to start tithing and giving up my hard-earned money to some church. And I got things to do. Oh, yeah, I've become a Christian. But what would people think about me? They think I was some kind of fanatic or religious nut. Now, saints, these might seem like extreme examples, but Jesus can also be a threat to Christians or the so-called religious people, as we see in the text. Those who come to Jesus must acknowledge that he is the only way to get to God or to heaven. Jesus is not a way, but he is the one and the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody enters into the Father but by me. So this invalidates every other religion that proposes any other means of salvation or enlightenment. Nobody comes to God but through Jesus. Acts 4 and 12 tells us that salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved.
Amen.
Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't love and respect people who are following other religions. They have a right to follow what they want to. The Lord himself gave them free will choice. However, we cannot pretend to agree that there is any other way to God but through Jesus Christ. We can let them believe what they want to, but they will not change what we believe. We believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But you know what? This truth alone has led to accusations of bigotry and closed-mindedness against those who follow Jesus. Just because Christians do not acknowledge any other religion as offering any real answers, they break the politically correct commandment of tolerance. The commandment states that different viewpoints must all be seen as equally valid. If you claim that your religion is the only true religion, then you are violating the law of tolerance. Now, let me just say that there have been a number of so-called Christian groups in our day who have promoted hate and intolerance. And, of course, we don't associate with them because we don't believe that they reflect the heart of God. See, some of these groups have put words in God's mouth saying that he hates black people, or he hates gay people, and other hateful things, which are all lies straight from the pit of hell. Now, I know what God says about homosexuality, but I also know that God does not hate those who are gay. But unfortunately, it's these groups that help to shape the view of what Christians are like, leading others to believe that we are hateful, closed-minded, self-righteous, arrogant, and most importantly, exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, help us, Jesus. Because the good news about Jesus is inclusive. Well, wait a minute. Let me go back. The good news about Jesus is exclusive in the sense that Jesus is the only way that we can find forgiveness and spiritual freedom in our lives. However, it is also the most inclusive of all faiths because Jesus invites anyone and everyone who is willing to come to him to come and to share his life. And as Christians, we must be careful, saints, that we don't put roadblocks up to keep people from coming to Jesus. You see, if we give people the message that they need to clean up their act before they come to God, then we are putting words in God's mouth, because the cleaning up of our lives is the work of God. That happens when we invite Jesus to become the leader of our lives. Now, yes, we have a part of the process, but to tell somebody that they have to stop acting like a sinner before God will accept them is simply not true. God changes us from the inside out. When we call on him and ask him to forgive us and lead our lives, he breathes new life into us. It's a spirit life. Jesus called it being born again. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. The life of God is birthed into our spirit, and he begins to change us from the inside out. Our desires begin to change, and we find that we don't need all the stuff and the things of the world that we thought we needed. We just need more of God and his word, and we just want to spend more time with other believers who are a part of his family. Oh, Lord, Father God, I think I done strayed just a little bit. So So let me back it up and roll it back in. Then I lie to tell other people. Don't be going off topic. Now, here I go. But I just want us to always remember that there are those who will resist us and fight against us if we keep sharing the good news about Jesus. There are times we will get discouraged and we will wonder if it's even worth it. But you know what? It also helps when we remember and understand that they are not rejecting us. No, sir, no, ma'am. It's God they are rejecting.
Yes.
See, we cannot force spiritual results.
Yes.
See, Jesus told his followers, go and tell the people that God wants to forgive them. And if they don't receive you, just move on and tell somebody else. He says, shake the dust off your feet and keep it moving.
Glory to God. Yes, he did.
See, because there are times when we'll have a chance to discuss God's love and grace with others like Paul did in verse 1 through 4. But there may also be times when we have to just move on, keep it moving.
Yeah.
Or sometimes, if you were in certain countries, you might have to run for your life like Paul did in verse 10.
Mm-hmm.
Lord Jesus.
Yeah. Lord.
Now,
Lord.
It's Black History Month. And I can't help but to think of the countless men and women, black and white, that believed in equality but lived through this exact same story that this young man, David, experienced. And they went through it just because they chose to live what they believe. Now, the story takes place in 1961. And while on his way to a Baptist convention, a young minister, David, a young African-American minister, was surrounded by a group of white men. And then a larger mob of about 25 took him from the depot, knocking him down, and they began pounding him with heavy hardwood clubs with all their might, cursing and declaring that he would never preach again when they were through with him. As they pounded him with these heavy clubs made from the oars of boats, he offered no resistance. What he did was committed himself to God, and he asked God not to let the blows break his spine. And oh, hallelujah, God was faithful. He stood wonderfully by David, and no bones were broken except a slight fracture in his left wrist. Now, when they stopped pounding him with the clubs, as he went to get up, others of the mob that didn't have clubs knocked him down, hitting him in the head with their fists. Let me tell you, this man was knocked down several times. But he was never knocked unconscious. Now, that was another miracle that only God could provide. And if that wasn't enough, then the man wasn't allowed to take his train back out of town. But he was made to walk 9 miles to the next station where he wouldn't be able to get a train until to Sunday at 2 p.m. so he could get home. Now, what blesses my soul, David said, the suffering during the pounding was terrible, but as soon as it was over, he said he didn't focus on the wounds or the bruises, but he looked to God, And God took away all the suffering and poured his power and strength into him so he could carry his suitcase even with his hurt right arm over 9 miles. Oh, hallelujah and glory to God. David goes on to say, I never had the slightest anger or ill feelings toward those men who beat me so cruelly. And he walked to the next station in the dark with moonlight. That walk turned out to be the most heavenly experience of his life, he said. He said the Lord gave him wonderful intercession for those with those men, and he forgave them.
Glory to God. Yeah.
Because, see, he understood that he was preparing for his coming. So, you see, opposition will come when we keep sharing our faith. But we have to share it anyway. Now, our final point will show us how to stay in it for the long haul. Because if we want to continue to share our faith and we want to be able to do it for the long haul, we have to be flexible. Let's look at Acts 17:10-15. And it said, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night into Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of the honorable women which were Greeks, and of men not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brothers sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Okay, family. Paul was indeed bold and courageous. Yeah. But he was not stupid. You see, even though he was willing to give his life for the sake of the good news about Jesus, he didn't have a death wish. You know what I'm saying? So it was necessary for him to be flexible as he followed Christ and shared the gospel. Verse 10 shows him leaving Thessalonica during the night so he would not be attacked by his religious enemy. Verse 14 shows him leaving Berea to go to Athens because of the trouble of Jews that stirred up in Berea. Even in Philippi, Paul and Silas were beaten and imprisoned and asked to leave the city. Now, if Paul had not been willing to be flexible, he likely would have either been killed prematurely or he would have quit the ministry. Mm-hmm. We've already talked a little bit about what Jesus told his followers. He said, take the good news out to all the cities and villages. Tell them that God's kingdom is coming and that they can be forgiven. If people do not receive you, shake the dust off of your feet and move on. And yeah. Thanks to God, that's exactly what Paul did. And it's often what we're going to have to do as we tell others about Jesus. Hallelujah. We might just have to go, uh-huh. Again, we can't force the good news on anybody. Nobody comes to the Father unless the Holy Spirit draws them. Now, the Holy Spirit may be working on someone, but maybe they just aren't ready yet. We need to be strong enough to always share the good news with clarity and excitement, hallelujah, but we need to be flexible enough to know when to move on. We need to let the Holy Spirit continue his work in the hearts and minds of people, and perhaps they will be ready at a later time.
Amen.
And as we close, I want to remind us all that there is joy, pure joy in the harvest. If we keep on sharing the good news about Jesus with others, so that Jesus can restore the hope and change lives, I'm here to tell you, saints, we will experience the joy of seeing their lives transform forever. Oh, yes, we will face resistance at times. But we have to remember, saints of God, God is greater than those who oppose him. And Jesus has promised to be with us always. So we must remain flexible if we want to stay in it for the long haul. You know what? God will work through us. But we must learn to listen to his voice. And then we move when he says move, the way he says move, wherever he says to move. Listen, the good news about Jesus is this. God loves you and I so much that he sent his only begotten son, Jesus, to take the penalty of our sins on himself. He died so people like us could turn away from the wrong things that we do and be forgiven. Oh, but hallelujah. He didn't stay dead. Hallelujah. He came back to life on the third day, as he said he would. And one day he will come back for all of us who trust in him for forgiveness and follow him with our lives. If you want to be forgiven and follow Jesus, you've got to be willing to do things his way. And you start by confessing your sins to him. You need to ask him to forgive you and to become the leader of your life. Just simply tell him in your own words, because the words you use aren't near as important as the fact that in your heart you want to make things right and you want to make a change and you want to give your life to him, and you can pray to him right now and today. That's to every person that does not know Jesus in the pardon of their sin. Hear me clearly. Today is the day. You don't have to wait. You don't have to get cleaned up. All you got to do is give your life to Jesus and he will begin to work on you and do the rest. And to every Christian here, and you know, to those that are listening via your computers, you're right here in the sanctuary, and to those that will listen via the archives, we must do whatever it takes to get this message out. We need to take intentional steps to talk to our neighbors, our friends, our family, and our communities about Jesus. You see, they need to see Jesus in our lives by the way we love people. Family, it's harvest time. Oh, Lord, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few, and we need to help change that. We need to take every given opportunity to tell somebody that Jesus is the only way, and I mean he is the only way to see the kingdom of God. We must be intentional about sowing these seeds of love so that others may come to know Jesus for themselves. If we are truly Jesus people, then somebody should know that besides us. Somebody should be able to recognize Jesus in our love walk. Somebody should be able to recognize Jesus in our conversation. Somebody should be able to recognize Jesus by our love. Somebody should be able to recognize that we are truly Jesus people. There is joy in the harvest.
Yes.
And today I want us to all be recommitted, hallelujah, to planting those seeds, hallelujah. We've got to tell people that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We need to plant those seeds so that God can come in and water and nurture and have the increase. Hallelujah. We can't give up. We can't give in. We can't get discouraged. Because remember, we all belong to God to begin with. And God can do with others that which we cannot. Amen. And to God be the glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. At this time, I am going to ask that Pastor Vanessa will come in and she will bind this message. We like to seal our messages with God's word because we know that his word is going to do exactly what it set out to do. So not only do we have a message, we then pray for that message. Then after that, I am going to ask Apostle Zeta, hallelujah, to come back in, and I'm going to ask her to extend the invitation to salvation. She's going to invite you into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then after that, we will hear from Bishop Lester Carver. And any of you that are sitting in the sanctuary this morning, if you would like to have a word of praise or you have a prayer request, please press your one, and that will let me know that you would like to come into the worship service and join in with us. Hallelujah. I will address you by your area code and the last four digits of your phone number. But right now, we're going to ask Pastor Vanessa to come forth. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Apostle Blue, for that word. Thank you for the passion and everything in which it was delivered. And thank you, Lord, today for the intent of that word. Lord, we just come before you, making your name great, because we have decided to obey what we hear and to seek and understand it, Lord, so that we can apply it in our lives. For the vessel delivered the word. I thank you, Lord, today for the intent and motive, Father God, in which he delivered it with everything. I thank you, Lord, that we learn to worship you in spirit and in truth by how we receive your word, by how we live your word, how we trust your word, and it builds upon us. I thank you, Lord, that your presence and the intent, Father God, will be seen in our lives this week, that we begin to have the expectation we revisit this word and the power that in which it was delivered, Lord, that we will be teachable. And thank you, Lord, today for those intimate moments, Lord, where we're learning and the Holy Spirit is teaching us based upon what was pricked, what was convicted in this word, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that the eyes of our understanding will be open. We will be enlightened. We will share the word. Be saved, and that we become sensitive to the loss that are all around us every day. Lord, that there is a gesture, something that we say, something that we do, so people can know who they are through us. In the name of Jesus, know who you are. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Vanessa, for that beautiful prayer. Yeah. Glory to God. Now, we're going to ask Apostle Zeta to come back in, if she would, please, ma'am, and extend the invitation into a relationship with Christ Jesus. Apostle Zeta?
I'm sorry, I was muted.
That's all right. Amen.
God bless you, everyone that have heard the word this morning, because truly it was a great word and that we all heard, and we all, praise God, can take stock of what we have heard, praise God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, praise God. Hallelujah. So we have the faith by what we heard. We gain faith by what we hear. Praise God. And I'm talking about by hearing the word of God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Those of you that have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, you can do it today. Today is the appointed time. Hallelujah. Praise God. You have heard about him this morning, and you have heard, hallelujah, what he expects and how we should be. For the sake of Christ. Praise God. All right, I'm going to just share a couple of scriptures, and then we're going to pray. Praise God.
Amen.
In Romans 10, verse 9, and I'm going to start with verse 8, because verse 8 lets us know that the word is nigh. The word is near. The word is close. Hallelujah. Even in our mouth, even in our heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Praise God. In verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you can believe in your heart today that Jesus is the Son of God, hallelujah, that Jesus is Lord, hallelujah, that Jesus died for our sins, and he rose, and after he was buried, he rose on the third day, hallelujah, for our sakes. So if you have listened in today and you have heard, praise God, you can confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah, is who you need today, and you're accepting him today. Praise God. Hallelujah. All you have to do is confess that, and you are saved. Hallelujah. You have become a believer of Christ Jesus.
Yes.
And we're going to pray for you now. Father God,
yes,
we lift up these ones, hallelujah, that have heard your word and they have applied it, hallelujah, to the point of accepting you into their lives today. We pray, Lord, that you will bless them to be in a place where they can learn more of you, Lord, where they can learn further about the scriptures, hallelujah,
yes,
that they hear, and that,
yes,
they will have a better understanding of who you really are, hallelujah, that they will then have a relationship with you, God, and continue to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Now, at this time, we are going to have our Bishop, Bishop Lester Carver, to come forth, because we have a special love for the men of God, and we want our men to be strong, and we want them to be in their rightful place. So we have asked Bishop Lester to always just come and, you know, take a little time to go to the Holy Man's Corner and have a word. Bishop Carver?
Praise the Lord, Apostle Cook. I'll tell you today what is on my mind more than anything else is in line with your teaching today, is the desire that we should have to reach out to those who are seeking a relationship with God. And for men, it is so difficult because we are dealing with pride, we are dealing with guilt, we are dealing with shame, we are dealing with condemnation. And as a businessman, I deal with a lot of very honorable men who are not yet saved, who are not yet Christians, and what they will say and what they've told me is that they do feel drawn to God. They do feel a desire to come to God. They do feel like someday it is something that they might do when they feel like they are worthy. And they are saying this from a place of integrity. These are honorable men.
Glory
and
to
I,
God.
What they're saying, but I have to remind them and I have to explain to them gently that they are not correct in their disposition toward God, because in spite of their integrity, in spite of them saying, my life is not together, I'm not going to come to God until my life is together, and I would feel like a hypocrite if I came to God before I get my life together, the reality and the truth, you cannot get your life together. And if you could do it yourself, God would have asked you to do it yourself. He wouldn't have had to send his son Jesus Christ to die for you after being beat and then lay in a stone tomb for 3 days and three nights dead so that he can come and raise him and seat him at his right hand and send the Holy Spirit to dwell within you and I. He wouldn't have had to do all that if we could do it ourselves. So I want to share some scriptures so that we can, as men, get past ourselves and not be trapped in this place of self-righteousness and personal integrity that sounds right but is a lie from the devil. So I'm going to start in this first verse, Romans 8:1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. And understanding that that is something that occurs after you get saved, after you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Look at this verse in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So when you take the time to read what it says in Acts 2:38 and 39, you repent and you turn away from serving sin and you are water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, then you've taken a step toward your salvation. When you believe to speak in tongues and you believe to prophesy, as it says in Acts 19:1 through 7, you've taken a step toward your salvation. And when you look at what it says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, or 8 to 13, where it says, call on the name of Jesus and then confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord, the master of your life. You'll be saved. And when you believe in your heart that God raised the Son Jesus Christ from the dead, you will be saved. And when you do this, then what it says here in this verse is your reality. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You are walking free of whatever you think disqualifies you from salvation. Now, I want to share this last one of these two more verses. One is John 3, 17, 18. It says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ. And so what is required is for you to believe in the name of God's Son, Jesus Christ, that he sent into the world not to condemn you, but so that through him you may be saved. In the last verse, John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, this is Jesus Christ speaking, he hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. It is a life or death proposition that God is making available to you in saying that when you believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, you have passed from death unto life. You will not come into condemnation, and you will have everlasting life because you believe on God who sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for your sins, so that you would be worthy and could stand before the throne and receive all that he has for you. So that is the word for the men. And I want to tell you that whatever it is you think that you've done that disqualifies you from salvation, the blood of Jesus Christ is more powerful than that. Woman of God.
Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. You know what? With the man of God, I love it when the Holy Spirit is just moving from heart to heart and breast to breast, because what the bishop just says could literally be an intro in to our program tomorrow, because we are having a study on fear and anxiety. Those things that, you know, we're going to be talking about when fear and anxiety opens up the floodgates, and some of the things that do rush in is guilt and shame and condemnation. So if you are available tomorrow, please join us on Taking It to the Streets, because we will be having that study, because we want all of our brothers and sisters to truly be free, to be able to walk unafraid in the things of God, and to have joy and peace while they're doing it. And then on Tuesday, let me invite everyone to please join Bishop Lester Carver at his new time at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, because he has been doing a phenomenal study. He's been studying in Revelation, and he knows his word. So please, if you're available, please stop in, give it a listen, listen to it in archives, because he's doing a phenomenal job. And on Wednesday, we're going to have a very special Daughters of Naomi. It is entitled, She Knew Her Worth and She Changed the World. So we will be looking at some influential women in history. We will be looking at some influential women to me. So I pray that you come out and join us. And then on Thursday, our pastor, Pastor Vanessa Carver, she's been having a phenomenal, phenomenal, phenomenal study on forgiveness. Hallelujah. And some of us need to learn how to receive the forgiveness from God for ourselves. So I would beseech you to come out and join her. Hallelujah. And for more information about us, we just want you to, you can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Google. You can just find us. Trust me, you can find us.
So we just praise God for all of you that joined in with us this morning. I want to thank God for Bishop Lester Carver, for Pastor Vanessa Carver. I want to thank God for you, Mother Mitchell, and for you, Apostle Zeta and Minister Tina. I just want to thank all the beautiful servant leaders once again for always being faithful. They make the services so rich and so full, and I'm just so grateful for each and every one of you and what you contribute to the worship service. Now, if there be nothing else, now may the grace of God rest, rule, and abide in you greatly. Hallelujah. Until we meet again, saints of God, we pray that you continue to acknowledge Christ in all that you do, that you have a beautiful and blessed week. And from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. You are dismissed, and God bless you. Oh, but remember, God loves you, and so do we. Have a beautiful and blessed week, everybody. Amen, and God bless you. God bless you, family. You were absolutely
beautiful.
Amen.
God bless you all. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. So wonderful. God bless you.
God bless you, too.
All right.